Helping Hand. It's a new weekly feature here on HPR. Each Friday afternoon, Helping Hand will put the spotlight on an organization or event in the community that offers assistance to the handicapped, disabled, and other folks in need. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we're learning about Assistance Dogs of Hawaii. It's a 501c3 charitable organization. They provide people with physical and developmental disabilities, professionally trained dogs, dogs of all kinds that really help them out. And I have two very special guests in the studio who run the organization. I have Mo Moore, and one of the dogs that is working with Assistance Dogs of Hawaii, Angel, one of the brand new dogs from their program. Welcome to our studios, Mo and Angel.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. We're happy to be here.
It's great to have you. I really do appreciate it. And Angel is a Golden Lab. What kind of dog is
she? Well, Angel is actually three-quarters Labrador and one-quarter Golden Retriever.
Okay. All right. So I had it.
You're close.
I had it in the right ballpark. Just painting it for radio's sake. Obviously, people can look at HawaiiPublicRadio.org, and we'll have a photo of her. But, yeah, she's a gorgeous dog and a real pleasant thing to have come to the studio with you. I imagine, upstages any guest when you have her. So tell us a little bit about this organization and how you're involved with Assistance Dogs of Hawaii on a day-to-day basis.
Well, Assistance Dogs of Hawaii is a nonprofit organization, and we specialize in training several types of assistance dogs, including service dogs for people with limited mobility, full-time hospital facility dogs like Tucker, who works at Kapi'olani Medical Center. We train courthouse dogs like Pono, who works at the Honolulu Prosecutor's Office, and therapy dogs and seizure response dogs.
And is there, it's such a special kind of industry. Is there an interesting story what drove you to be passionate about dogs and maybe about helping people through dogs?
Well, this is something that I've always wanted to do since I was a little girl. I've always just loved the idea of dogs helping people in need. And for us, it's really more of a ministry than a job, and it's just a way to serve people and make a difference in people's lives.
And so just from a young age, you just wanted to do that. There was no catalytic experience that just said, I want to help other people, or I want to channel that help through animals?
Well, I was really sick a lot when I was little. I was in the hospital for almost 3 years. And I remember when my mom finally let me get a dog, and it was so nice to have a dog at home when I couldn't go to school, and what a comfort that dog was to me growing up.
Therapy.
Yeah. So it's really been great, you know, not just with providing service dogs, but we've been able to provide full-time facility dogs for children's hospitals. And so it's really been neat to see the difference that these dogs are making for those children.
Yeah, and they provide so many different, I mean, it's amazing when you say service dogs. I mean, these dogs, you could have a dog that works with a handicapped person. You could have a dog, like you said, that goes into a facility and is able to provide comfort and therapy to large numbers of people over a long sort of period of time. Talk a little bit about when you guys, you have certain kinds of dogs. How do people reach out to you that you can be of service to people in the community? Let's say people who, for instance, were handicapped or had a special need on an individual basis. How would you then work with them?
Well, people contact our office, and our main campus is on Maui, but we also have an office here in downtown Honolulu. So people contact us and start the application process. And we do specialize in training dogs for people with limited mobility. So some of our clients and graduates include people with spinal cord injuries, with muscular dystrophy, MS, cerebral palsy, ALS, spina bifida, anything that limits someone's mobility, we're able to train dogs that can assist them with that.
And on that note of the different kinds of dogs, medical scent detection is this incredible new, seemingly new set of skills that people are tapping dogs for, which is kind of being able to figure out if someone's in trouble by like a scent that like the dog can only pick up. Kind of describe this amazing new technique that these dogs have.
Yes, this is a really exciting new area in the assistance dog industry. And dogs have a sense of smell that's 100,000 times stronger than ours.
Wow.
So they can detect one part per trillion. And we're finding that we can use this amazing ability in ways that can help people with detecting cancer. And the recent research that we just finished was a study on training dogs to detect life-threatening infections in people. And it was the first study of its kind that's ever been done. The results will be published next month, and the dogs were amazing. It was incredible. We did almost 3,000 double-blind runs, and they made very few errors during that time.
Are there different breeds that are better at certain tasks? Like when you talk about the scent detection versus working with someone who's disabled. Because I notice, I always see like this golden, it's more of a lab than a retriever, right? Is that what we said? Or it's three parts lab, one part retriever.
Yes.
So you always see these sort of dogs, and you get the feeling it's their temperament. Is there something about certain dogs that makes them better for the gig?
Yes, I think so. You know, when I started this program back in 2000, my goal was to rescue shelter dogs and train them to become service dogs. But what we found is the success rate was not as high, unfortunately, with the shelter dogs as it is with golden retrievers and Labrador retrievers. Mm. But it's not just any dogs within that breed. We get dogs that have been specially bred and come from sometimes over 20 generations of working guide dogs and service dogs so that they have the right health history, the temperament, and even the work ethic that's necessary for doing this.
So you contact specific breeders and you follow a lineage of animal that has been doing this for a long time.
Yes, we work with research geneticists.
Wow.
And we bring in dogs from all over the world here to Hawaii to start training as puppies.
Are there ways that folks who are listening to you talk about the program and maybe feel inspired? Certainly if they were looking at Angel sleeping here on the floor, they definitely would. Is there a way folks can either volunteer, contribute, help out? What are things you guys are looking for to help make life easier for handicapped folks and others that you're helping with these dogs?
Well, we place all of our assistance dogs and provide lifetime follow-up support free of charge. So we're able to do that because of donations from individuals, foundations, and businesses here in Hawaii. So we're really thankful for that opportunity that we have to change people's lives, you know, because of their support. So we're always welcoming donations of any amount. Right now, our biggest need is for a wheelchair van in Honolulu and also funding for future research projects, including one that we're just designing the protocol for, where we'll be teaching dogs to detect cancer through breath samples.
Amazing. I mean, it's just the whole scent detection thing is really...
It's exciting.
Someone could have an infection and not necessarily know it, but the dog would be able to provide the crucial analysis, if you will.
Right. And so the study that we just finished, the first phase was just showing that dogs could do this. And it was all done, with researchers and trainers at our center. But Angel, who's here with us now, she'll be the first dog ever to do this in practice. And that's the second part of our research, which is starting tomorrow at the Rehab Hospital of the Pacific, where we'll be teaching Angel to do this in real life and alerting her handler to patients that might have infections.
There is such a thing as, I don't know if this is the right word to describe it, but when we talk about the use of these dogs in a variety of settings, right? It's sort of expanded from when you were young, you saw a blind person with a dog. Now you realize dogs are doing an incredible amount of good work to help people out, whether it's just being a source of compassion and friendship in somebody's life, or whether it's providing detection of an illness or any number of other services in between. I see these false service dogs, if you will. Someone can just put an identification onto a dog and it becomes a service dog. Is that something that waters down the effect of the real ones or causes problems for genuine service dogs?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that because it's really become a problem over the last year or two. We see more and more pets that are being misrepresented as service dogs out in public.
Is that illegal?
It is, actually. It's illegal. There's a $1,000 fine for that. A lot of people don't realize. But it's also unethical.
Right, sure.
Yeah, it's just, it's making it really hard for the legitimate teams that are out there with their dogs. The law is there, for people that need their dogs and the dogs are trained to assist them out in public.
Right, and if someone, and it takes a lot of time and effort to train one of these dogs and bond them with a person, right? What's the, if someone out there is contemplating it, the process takes about how much time?
Well, the whole process takes about a year and a half to 2 years to train a dog where they're ready to graduate and have public access. And, you know, not that many of the dogs make it all the way through the training process. It's very rigorous, as well as the health and temperament screening. So the dogs have to be just pretty much bomb-proof out in public and so well-behaved, not have any health issues. They have to pass, you know, just all kinds of tests to have that. So it is a little disheartening when people just put a coat on their dog
and bypass that.
Yeah,
And it threatens the safety and legitimacy of the dogs that are really providing services to people in need. And if someone does need a service dog, they should go through a legitimate process to get it.
Yes, exactly. Because we can provide dogs free of charge for people who really need them. And if we're not able to, we can put people in touch with other programs that we work with on the mainland, bigger programs that provide guide dogs and hearing dogs.
Yeah, I saw that you guys work with disabled people in need who are also in financial need. You'll come to their aid with the dogs. So if people have a need, or if people know someone in their life who has a need, or if people want to help out Assistance Dogs of Hawaii, the best ways to contact you would be assistancedogshawaii.org.
Yes.
And then I have 808-298-0167.
Yes, that's right.
And that's on Maui, so folks should keep that in mind when they're calling. It's 808-298-0167 on the lovely Valley Isle. And in addition to providing dogs and training for dogs, there is an element of community outreach that I see mentioned at your website.
Yes, we have a huge community outreach program that reaches over 1,000 people in need each week. And this program includes things like the Wounded Warrior Program for veterans with PTSD, a therapy dog program where we have teams that visit patients in nursing homes and hospitals. We have a workplace readiness program for high school students with special needs where they come and work and get experience that helps them find jobs after graduating.
Wow, that's great. So bringing the animals out and all these different ways to sort of get people involved and to try to help out in a case-by-case basis.
Yes, we really want to reach as many people in the community as we can. And we have an Ohana program where groups with people with special needs like the Easter Seals or special education classes come to our campus and we have programs for them each week.
Wow, and educate them on working with the dogs.
Yes, and they get to participate and do things like brush the dogs and interact with the dogs and help exercise them. So it's really a win-win situation.
Right. Dogs get some needed tasks done and people get the therapy of working with the dogs.
Yes.
That makes sense.
My husband Will and I started providing assistance dogs to people in Hawaii over 20 years ago when we started raising guide dog puppies here. Those puppies went to New Zealand to the guide dog school to be trained, and they would come back to people in Hawaii who were blind.
Oh, wow.
But it's been so exciting to see how this industry has changed over the years, and it's grown, and there's so many new ways that dogs can help people in need that it's exciting just to see that expansion and be part of that.
Yeah, it does seem to be a lot more ways that the dogs are helping folks out. And anything you think I should have added to our conversation that I didn't?
No, I think you covered everything.
And is that, are those final note on more of a fun note, when you go to Assistance Dogs Hawaii, if you love animals, you're going to love their front page. It's got all these little puppies. They almost look like they were Photoshopped on there. Is that a real picture, or was that just a bunch of Photoshopped little puppies?
It is a real picture. And there are 11 puppies in that litter, and they all lined up for that photo.
I would have loved to have been there. I would have paid just to sit there and hang out with the dogs. And at AssistanceDogsHawaii.org, 2014 puppy calendars are for sale. $20 each. 100% of the proceeds benefit Assistance Dogs of Hawaii. That's AssistanceDogsHawaii.org. Mo Moore from Assistance Dogs of Hawaii and Angel, who is sleeping on the floor here in the studio. I really appreciate you coming down. I appreciate what you do for the community. Again, it's 808-298-0167, AssistanceDogsHawaii.org. And on behalf of all the folks that you're helping, thanks for doing what you do.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.